Yes? Yes. All right. Excellent. Thank you, Brian. Yeah, as Roger said, Andrew and Chris and Tim are all up at the men's retreat, and so you guys are stuck with me this morning. So I hope you guys are okay with that. I got to go up to the men's retreat. I went up Friday night and came back yesterday and just had a really nice time. It's great when guys can get together and really pursue God together, and I think there's something significant about that. And so we just know and trust that God is doing significant things up on the mountain for those men this morning. Well, as Roger said, we are in the midst still in our series of Reaching Beyond Borders, and I'm the pastor of Outreach, which means that I get to oversee some of our local outreaches, but also our missions giving and how we give and how we're involved in missions, both here locally in Hanford and Kings County, but also globally, and also the short-term missions and things that we do about that. And I think it's really important, and I think there's something really at the heart of God to see us reach beyond borders, and there's something that God honors in that, and there's a calling that God gives us to be involved in that. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that this morning. If you have your Bibles, I would just like to invite you to open up to 2 Kings, and we're going to look at chapter 6. If you don't have your Bibles, it will be up on the screen. But there's a story in the Old Testament that I think as we read, we'll find some parallels to reaching beyond borders for us. And so we'll begin in chapter 6, verse 24. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. We have this story where the city is sieged. The army marches on them and cuts them off. They have no supply to outside food, and things get so bad that people are eating donkey head. You imagine, that's pretty bad, isn't it? And I think if you look at the scripture here and you understood their monetary system, the donkey heads were expensive. You know, this inflation, because there is no food. And it's hard for us to kind of imagine this scenario, but there's a city that can get that has no access to the outside world, and they're eating donkey head and seed pods, stuff that nobody wants to eat. And it gets worse. Verse 26, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, "Help me, my lord, the king." The king replied, "If the Lord does not help you, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor? From the wine press?" Then he asked her, "What's the matter?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son so we may eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son.' So we cooked my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, 'Give up your son so that we may eat him,' but she had hidden him." I mean, we're talking about utter and complete they have nothing. They have nothing to eat. I mean, they're resorting to cannibalism. This is how bad of a situation. And it's hard for us to imagine. But given the utter desperation of the city, this is what happens. And then if we skip ahead to chapter 7, beginning at verse 3, we meet four characters, four lepers. And if any of you know about leprosy, leprosy is a disease that it affects the nervous system, I believe. And a lot of times there's a loss of flesh and fingers and toes, and there's some debate with biblical leprosy, with what we call leprosy today, but no matter, it was a horrible disease. If you look at, we have some pictures out in the lobby, we have a picture of a widow in India who has leprosy, and you can see the impact of the disease. And lepers could not come into the city. They were banished from the city, and they had to beg. And so you can imagine the desperation of a leper during a famine. They're begging for food. And so you have these four lepers. Now, there were four men with leprosy at the entrance to the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say, 'We'll go into the city,' the famine is there, and we will die. If we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we will die." And these guys just say, "Hey, we don't have many options here. We can stay here and die. We can go into the city where there's no food and die. Or hey, let's roll the dice. Let's go to the enemy camp, and maybe they'll have mercy on us, and maybe we'll survive." Let's roll the dice and see what happens. And so at dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." As I think, as we talk about reaching beyond borders, I really do believe that there are parallels for us in this story. The first thing is, you know, lepers were people that were utterly needy. You know, they relied on people giving to them. They relied on begging. And I think in a spiritual sense, every single one of us is a leper. Every single one of us is desperate and in a desperate situation. And apart from grace and mercy, and we are lost, aren't we? We are lost. And so on your notes, if you're following along, we are all lepers. Every single one of us, we are lepers. In a spiritual sense, Romans 3:23, what does it say? All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And apart from his grace, apart from his mercy, we're desperate, aren't we? We're in a desperate situation, and we're lost. We need grace and mercy to survive, just like these lepers. Without the grace and mercy of people giving to them, they were going to die because they had no food. And obviously, as they went to the enemy camp, there was grace and mercy that God bestowed on them by causing the army to flee. And so we're like them, aren't we? We're lost without grace and mercy. And so we're all lepers in a spiritual sense. Every single one of us is a leper. But just like these lepers, and this is your second point, we've all stumbled onto a stockpile. If you know Jesus, if you know God, you have stumbled onto a stockpile. And so these lepers did, right? They gambled and they said, "You know what? We're going to die. Let's go." God causes the army to flee. And what happens? The army's gone. And they stumble upon the stockpile, the camp of the enemy, full of food and clothes and gold and silver. I mean, these guys are lepers. They've never seen anything like this. They've never had access to anything like this. All of a sudden, they stumble on the stockpile of the army. And it wasn't brought about by themselves, was it? They didn't cause it to happen. God caused it to happen, didn't he? He's the one that caused the army to flee. And so, like these lepers, we are desperate. But God, when he brings grace into our lives, we stumble upon a stockpile. You guys have a stockpile? Anybody here have a stockpile? I don't know, I'm not hearing you. What is our stockpile? I mean, think about it. What is our stockpile? When I think about it for me, my spiritual stockpile, God loves me. I mean, God loves me. Jesus Christ died on a cross for me. And now I'm free from sin. I'm no longer bound to shame and guilt. I now have access to live in this relationship, of this life-giving relationship with God. And I get to experience this life-giving relationship with God in a community, in relationship with all of you, with people who love me, with people who are pursuing the same thing, who want to experience God's grace too and mercy. And in this relationship, I get to have a wife and experience the depth of relationship with her. I get to be a father. And then I'm given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives me guidance and direction and comfort and joy and peace. I mean, this is the stockpile. And if that weren't enough, I mean, what else do we get? We get spiritual gifts. And man, when I use my spiritual gifts, I feel alive. God stirs something in me, and I feel alive when I use my spiritual gifts, and that's nothing that I bring about myself. And if you look at James chapter 1, it says, "Every good and perfect gift comes from God, And he gives us minds that think, and bodies that move, and eyes that see, and ears that hear, and mouths that taste. And so we're given oceans and mountains and created beauty. I mean, when I was up at the men's retreat, I mean, there's just something that stirred in me, seeing God's beauty in the mountains. And if all this weren't enough, when I die, I get to go to heaven. I get to live life everlasting with my Lord and my Savior. I get to live a life free of suffering and sorrow and pain. And this is the good news. Come on, anybody, you guys, is this good news? I mean, this is good news, isn't it? I mean, this is the good news. This is our stockpile. And we don't bring it about ourselves, do we? It's by the grace of God. Man, what a stockpile. Life with God. Life everlasting with God. Oh, what a rich stockpile. Do you guys take joy in the stockpile? You guys realize just the depth of the stockpile? When you look at these lepers, I mean, they find the stockpile. What do they start doing? Man, they are enjoying the stockpile, aren't they? I can picture these guys. I mean, they just left the city with no food. People are eating donkey's heads and, man, no hope. And they come on the stockpile, and they just are enjoying it, aren't they? They're eating. I can just see them trying on robes, and they see gold and silver, things that they've never had access to. And they're enjoying the stockpile. I tell you what, the stockpile we have as Christians, if we're friends of Jesus, if we know Christ, if we've put our hope in Him and our faith in Him, we need to enjoy the stockpile. And God has given us a rich stockpile to enjoy. And I really just like this picture of the lepers just enjoying the stockpile, reveling in it. Man, rejoicing in it. We have been given a deep, deep stockpile as Christians. God has graced us significantly. I just encourage you, I mean, every once in a while, remind yourself of the stockpile that you have. And if that weren't enough, our spiritual stockpile, you know, I believe that in the United States, for the most part, we also have a financial stockpile. And I know we probably all struggle with this. We live in a world where we always want more, want bigger, nicer. But on a global scale, we're rich. We are rich. This week, as I was looking and preparing, I found a website called globalrichlist.com. And I don't know if some of you have seen this, but what you can do is you can enter an amount of money that is made in a year. And it kind of gives you a ranking on a global scale of where you're at. Really interesting, globalrichlist.com. If you make $15,000 a year, you're in the top 13% of the richest people in the world. Top 13% of the richest people in the world. If you make $30,000, that bumps up to the top 7%. The top 7%. That's staggering, isn't it? That's staggering, the top 7% of the world. Talk about a stockpile that we've been given. Talk about a stockpile. But what do? We struggle, don't we? We talked a little while back about affluenza and how we struggle with affluenza because we want more and bigger and better. You guys ever feel that way? You guys ever look at neighbors and friends and people you know, man, I want that. Why can't I have that? So what do? We go in debt. We spend money we don't have to try to pursue those things. And we forget about the stockpile that God has given us, spiritually speaking, but I also think, why did God give us this stockpile? For me? I look at my car that has over 120,000 miles on it, and I look at my house that needs new carpets and clothes that I'd like to have new ones, and I constantly think, man, I wish I had something different. But then I look at globalrichlist.com and realize, man, I am rich. On a global scale, I am rich. I am rich. You know, and the truth is that my car with 120,000 miles on it, my house that maybe needs new carpet, my clothes that I feel like maybe are a little bit old and dated, man, that's a dream for most people in the world. I'm living in Disneyland compared to most people. I'm living in Disneyland because God has given us a stockpile. But what do we do with the stockpile? Who does it get focused on? I don't know about you, but I struggle with selfishness. I struggle with selfishness. And that's our third point. We all struggle with selfishness. I think the lepers started to struggle with this, didn't they? They started eating. They started saying, oh, me, this is good for me. They started trying on robes and they started saying, me, right? They started found silver and gold and they said, me, and me, and me, and mine, and mine, and mine. My son Cohen, he will be 2 years old next month. We also have a daughter, Addison, who is 6 months old. And Cohen has been learning about sharing recently. He has this attitude of me and mine. And he's a good kid. I mean, he really is. But every once in a while, we just have to remind him. Because he'll see Addison playing with something, and he'll go up and say, mine. Like, no, you got to share. You got to share. I mean, it's a lesson we teach our children early in life, don't we? You got to share. You have to share. I mean, I think, I remember report cards with little kids when they were young, elementary school, you know, does not play well with others, does not like to share. You know, those kind of comments that maybe some parents have received on report cards. You know, something that we learn very early in life, the struggle with selfishness. And we teach it to our kids, you got to share, you got to share, you got to share. But what we teach our kids, we frequently forget as adults, don't we? I tell you what, we got to share, we got to share. God has given us a stockpile. We've got to share. You know, in God's kingdom and in his economy, it's not ours. It really is his that he's given us and blessed us with. We got to share. And I think that, you know, this attitude that mine, me, mine, me, mine, mine. Man, we got to share. When Jesus is asked, what are the two greatest commandments? What are the two greatest commandments? What does he say? Love God. Love others. So I think God knows we struggle with selfishness. And he reminds us that we got to get our eyes off ourselves, get our eyes on God, and get our eyes on others. Anybody else struggle with selfishness, or am I alone on this one? Man, I think we're all there, aren't we? All of us, every single one of us, struggle with selfishness. We got to constantly, just like I do with my son, I got to remind him every once in a while. I got to remind him every once in a while. I got to do it to myself. I have to remind myself every once in a while. You got to share. You got to share the stockpile. We remember that with the lepers, they come to this point, don't they? It's kind of the key point of the whole passage is they're enjoying this. And they're enjoying the food and the drink and the robes and the gold and the silver and the tents. They're hiding it because they don't know if the army's going to come back. So they kind of hide it and think that, man, this is mine now. I want to keep some of it. I want to hide it away. And as they're doing this, it's kind of the key verse of the whole passage. Verse 9. Then they said to each other, we're not doing right. We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. I think for us, sometimes we need to remind ourselves, don't we? When we do me, mine, me, mine, we're not doing right. We have good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. And so what do the lepers do? They go and tell the king. And if you read on the story, the king doesn't believe them at first. I mean, at first, they can't even go into the city, so they have to yell it to the guards, you know, who pass this information along. And the king finally says, he doesn't believe it. He thinks it's a trap, it's a trick. But one of his commanders convinces him to send out a group of guys to check it out. And they go, and they find out that this is true. The army's gone, and the camp is here with food and everything we need. And the city is saved because of it. And the whole city goes down, it says in 2 Kings, that they plundered the enemy camp. They took all that they could, and they survived because of it. Point number 4. On your outline is, this is a day of good news. This is a day of good news. Rather than feeling that, man, I have to share. Man, let's feel like, man, we get to share. This is a day of good news. Man, when I have good news, I like to tell other people about it. What about you guys? You guys like to tell other people about good news? You guys like to hear good news? I certainly do. When I get good news, I mean, first thing I want to do, I want to tell my wife, I want to tell my family, I want to tell my friends. You know, good news is something that just needs to be shared, doesn't it? We want to share it. And so part of sharing the good news is we need to understand that we need to enjoy the stockpile and realize the richness of the stockpile that we have. And as we enjoy the richness, we're going to want to tell other people about it, aren't we? Tell other people, man, there's a stockpile. Relationship with God. A life-giving relationship with God. There's a stockpile. Do you know about it? Man, I've been blessed financially. I've received a stockpile. Maybe on American standards, I'm, you know, struggling through things. But man, if I get my finances right, if I get my perspective right, man, there's a stockpile that can have an impact on this world. I tell you what, you know, one thing that we talked about during affluenza is how much debt we have in America. And that infests the church, doesn't it? I tell you what, man, can you imagine the power and the ability and the influence we could have as a church if we were out of debt? If all of us were out of debt, you know, had money that we could give, money that we could use to bless others. Man, think of the impact we could have on the world. That's why it's so important for those of you who are struggling with that kind of stuff. Financial peace. Financial peace is a class we offer periodically that just will change your life. Because God has given us a stockpile. And it's good news, and we need to share it. You know, think about the good news. If you look through Acts, if you look through the New Testament, you know, but Acts 5:42, day after day in the temple courts from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Acts 8:12, but when they believed Philip as he was preaching the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And it goes on, good news, good news, good news, all talking about Jesus Christ. All talking about the stockpile, good news. Good news. We call Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we call them the Gospels, right? Gospel is a word that comes from Old English. It literally means God spell. And God spell is a literal translation that means good news. It's where the word gospel comes from. And so when we talk about the Gospels, four books of the Bible, the gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ. So we you know, sometimes in church lingo, we say to share the gospel. What does that mean? It just means talking about the stockpile that God has given us. You know, also kind of what comes out of that same word is the word evangelist. It comes from that same root, and it means, you know, one who shares the good news. It's interesting, I recently read somewhere that certain companies have started grabbing onto that term and that phrase, evangelist. I read about a guy who was an evangelist. I mean, this was his job. He got paid for it. He was an evangelist for Apple Computers. What does it mean? It tells about the good news of Apple computers, how good they are, how great they are. And I think as a church, we've gotten away from that term, you know, evangelists, people who tell the good news. And it's interesting to me that companies are picking up on it and actually giving people the title of evangelist for their company. Man, we need to have evangelists in the church, people who are sharing the good news, people who are telling other people about the stockpile, the rich stockpile that God has given us, and it's open. I mean, people are just waiting for an invitation. And we know that not everyone receives, and not everybody, you know, like, they go to the city, and the first reaction is, you know what, I don't believe you. You know? But they're not responsible for the results, are they? The four lepers. They're just responsible to tell. They're just responsible to tell. This is a day of good news. You guys with me? Yes. This is a day of good news? Yes. Man, we have good news. Not any of our own doing, not because we brought it about ourselves, because God's grace and mercy. It's a day of good news. It's a day of good news. So what happens as we share our stockpile? Well, we're talking about reaching beyond borders, so I'm going to focus on one segment of our sharing the good news that we, I think, experience corporately as a church, and we pursue corporately as a church when we share the good news. And a lot of this has to do with our kind of attitude towards reaching beyond borders, and we send short-term teams, and we send monthly giving to other places in the world. You know, that's sharing the stockpile. It really is. When we give money to missions, man, it's sharing the stockpile. So this morning, I'm a bit of a techie geek, so I'll see if I can figure this out. We were having some technical problems this morning, but we're going to see if we can get this to work. So if you would give me just one moment. You guys doing okay? Everybody all right? All right. You guys with me? You guys bored? Apple computer, try to evangelize about Apple computers. That's not turning on. There we go. Some of you may remember Kevin Dooley. He was here with us last year. And Kevin is reaching out in Morocco. And I'm going to see if we can talk with Kevin for a few minutes this morning. Maybe. All right, here we go. You guys like technology? When it works for you, right, it's great, isn't it? When you have problems with it, it's always a bit of a difficulty. So I don't know, can you guys in the video room maybe, is my computer coming through? Can you guys maybe put that up on the big screens? Hey, Kevin. Can you guys see anything yet?
Yeah, how are you?
Anything? All right, hang on a second, Kevin.
I see you.
Okay, we're, can you guys hear Kevin? But we cannot see. We cannot see Kevin. I can see Kevin. Okay. Here, look, I'll prove it to you. See? See, he's right there. See? You guys see?
I'll wave at everybody.
All right. See, he's waving at you guys all. He cannot see all you guys, I guess, here. All right. Oh, sorry, Leonard, it's on the remote. Push remote on the scan converter, and it'll come up. This morning was like one of those crazy mornings where I was, you know, running frantically around. So Kevin, we're waiting just for a moment. Are you guys watching the Colts game? Is it on yet? They're in Indiana right now. So
probably in the other room.
All right, there we go. We got success. Success, huh? So for you guys that don't remember, Kevin was with us last year, kind of shared, and Kevin kind of is a director and founder of GHI, which stands for Global Hope Initiative. And Kevin really has a heart for reaching Muslims. And so we sent a team, some of you may remember. But before we get to that, Kevin, just tell us, what is the goal and what is the aim of GHI?
Well, my desire is to get as many Christians as I can together with as many Muslims. And just for the Muslim world to see Christianity as God intends for them to. There are just so few Christians in the Muslim world. And so we look for every opportunity, and it was such a blessing to have your team, some of your farmers there, join us with some of our contacts in the agricultural industry and some of the farms in Morocco.
Yeah, this past year in February, we were able to send a small group of us who went over with a couple farmers in Virginia who works in the ag industry as well, and just try to build relationships with Muslims in Morocco. And so we got to work with Kevin. So Kevin, with a trip like that, when you send a group of people over, what is the impact of something like that?
To this day, we are still doing follow-up, and it has strengthened our relationship with even the king of Morocco. The king's farms and their managers are very interested in agriculture in your area of the world and accessing technology, processing, and markets. And so whenever Christians show an interest in them, the impact is really huge.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been talking about the stockpile, and part of the stockpile that we have is also, you know, not only the gifting that God's given us, but also sometimes our occupations, our careers, you know, the ways that God has directed us. And, I mean, that's part of our stockpile that we can share. And so when a couple of farmers go to Morocco and start to build relationships, I mean, that's sharing the stockpile, isn't it? You know, and so, I mean, that it impacts even the king. The king now, maybe his heart is a little more softened towards Christianity and towards thoughts about Christianity. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, and maybe you've looked at the newsletter that's inserted in, we're going to begin supporting GHI beginning next month and commit to them and hoping to see hope shared in the Muslim world. And so, so Kevin, what is the impact of that as we as a church give and commit? You know, what is the impact of that in a place like Morocco?
Well, certainly when you are prayerfully supporting our initiatives, and that's what we really need, are faithful prayers of God's people. Because that's what's opening the doors for us in this part of the world. But the funding for GHI is helping some training programs where we're training women who are struggling there, certainly in the Muslim world, very marginalized, lacking resources and ability to take care of their families. We're going to provide them training in how to create work And we have a sewing center that we're involved in starting. Also, we're training Moroccans in project management and other skills that they'll need to be able to provide for the family. Yeah. And all of this is sharing the gospel in word and deed. Absolutely. And that's the key to reaching Muslims for Christ.
Yeah. For those of you, I mean, Morocco's a Muslim country, and so Christians are very marginalized. And remember when we were there, Kevin got to, we got to meet a guy named Mohammed who, you know, essentially he became a Christian. And then once he became a Christian, his boss fired him. Is that correct, Kevin? And said, basically, yeah, you're an infidel, and so I'm going to give the job to someone, to a Muslim. And so, I mean, Kevin and GHI really do want to build into the local church there and see Christians get to a place where they have more influence in culture and society. And that really is sharing, you know, in word and in deed, sharing the stockpile that we've been talking about. So Kevin, you're right now, you're in Indiana. That's my question about the Colts, because I'm a huge Colts fan. But I don't know when the game starts, but I know they're playing today. So, but Kevin, you guys are getting ready to go back to Morocco?
Yes, I'll be going actually in October. And then we'll be returning with the family for a season, the spring of 2008. We'll be going back in January.
Yeah, I know they're not with you, but tell us your family. Just who is in your family?
Okay, my wife and I, Kim and I, have been married over 23 years, and we have four children. We have Annabelle, who is 7 years old, and she has two older brothers. Tucker is 9, and Callahan is 11, and her older sister is Taylor, and she's 13.
Yeah, so, and they're planning on going back to Morocco as a family in January, right?
That's correct.
So, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, the faith and perseverance of Kevin and his family going and serving in a place like Morocco, in a Muslim country, I mean, there's a lot of sacrifices that are built into that. And so, Kevin, we're just excited to be able to partner with you. And let's just take a moment and let's just pray for Kevin and his family. You guys, just even, I know that Kevin is in Indiana right now, but extend your hands even towards the computer just in an act of faith that God will touch them. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for Kevin. We thank you for his calling, the calling you've placed in his life. We thank you for his faith and his perseverance, his heart's desire to see hope spread throughout the world and especially throughout the Muslim world. And so we just pray strength upon him. We pray a financial blessing upon them, even with the difficulty of taking a family back and the expenses in that. But Lord, we know that you will use that to extend your kingdom and to share the stockpile of grace and mercy that you've given us. And so we just pray strength to Kevin, to his family, and just we thank you for them. Thank you for their willingness to go and serve. And just thank you for the opportunity we have to partner with them in sharing the stockpile that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Kevin, thank you. You guys give Kevin a hand if you would.
Thanks, Jeff, and thanks for your prayers and for your support and just the way that the ministry of Koinonia is extended into the Muslim world through GHI.
Yeah, that's our hope. And, you know, again, we just commend you for everything that you're doing, and we'll continue to pray for you guys. Don't forget we have another service, so don't go anywhere.
Okay.
All right, thanks again, Kevin.
Sure.
All right.
Bye.
When we go, when we give, change happens in the world. I mean, I utterly believe that's my core. God has given us this stockpile. And that when we go, send a short-term team. And that is sharing the stockpile, isn't it? I mean, there's a financial commitment to that. You know, the money involved. And I know I've heard people say that, you know, why go? Why go? You know, why can't that money go towards just giving to them? But one of the greatest things we have as a church is a stockpile of people. God has given us people with talents and gifts and abilities. Ability to minister to others and reach out to others and touch others. And that's not just some people. It's every single one of us. Every single one of us. God has given us gifts and talents and abilities, financial freedom. And he wants to use that. Isn't that amazing that our actions, when coupled with God, God's grace and his mercy and his action, when we work together with him, man, change happens in the world. Change happens in the world. And so, you know, in a place like Morocco, the change is slow. The change is slow. If any of you know about Muslim culture, you know it's slow. But steadily and slowly, seeds are being planted and lives are being changed because of GHI. And when we send a group of people and when we send monthly support, man, that's sharing the stockpile. If you guys look in your bulletin as well, you'll see that we have this Reach newsletter. And I just encourage you to read that. And this doesn't even share everything that's going on, but I just wanted to highlight a couple things from this that have happened because of Koinonia sharing the stockpile. First article, you know, and I'm not going to read it for you, but this past year, Care India, you know, India is a Hindu nation. This past year, Care India has seen 400 people baptized. 400 people baptized. Isn't that amazing? They've reached out to 200 new villages that have never heard the gospel before. I've had 179 people in those villages make decisions for Jesus Christ. They support, I think, 225 widows that otherwise would go hungry and have to beg. And we as a church have committed this next year to adding 20 new widows to that. That we're going to, at the end of next year, say, hey, there were 20 widows in India that we as a church supported. You think that makes a difference in people's lives? You know, do you think that's sharing the gospel in both word and deed? Absolutely. This other, just wanted to share this other quick story. I don't know if you guys remember the, and I think I might have mentioned this a couple months ago, but it's such a cool story, I'm going to share it again. Some of you guys remember the boats that we bought back in 2004, December 2004. I mean, devastating tsunami hit much of Asia in the Indian Ocean. And because of our relationship with Care India, and that's kind of how our relationship really got rolling, we said, hey, what can we do? What can we do? We took up an offering, we sent money, and they bought fishing boats for a village that had just been devastated by the tsunami. Fishing boats destroy these people that, their only source of income was fishing. So we bought these fishing boats, and some of you, there's a picture out there if you guys haven't seen it before, but this boat, they actually painted Koinonia Christian Fellowship on the side of the boat. It was like funds provided by. And, you know, I don't know how many boats we bought, but there were a lot of boats and fishing nets that were provided for. And so after this happened, we decided to take up a second offering and send it to the same village. And what happened was they wanted to build a church in this village. So we sent money to buy land. And eventually the money, the land that we essentially bought fell through. The guy didn't have a clear title. And so we kind of lost the land. But what happened is the local government saw what Care India was doing in the village and all the good things that were happening. They said, hey, you know what? We'll give you land. So now the money that we sent to buy land is actually going to go towards the construction of a church building. You know, isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that God wants to do through us when we share the stockpile. God not only uses it, but he multiplies it. He multiplies it. He takes what we give and he multiplies it and extends his kingdom further and further because of it. On the back, we also are involved with Chan Duncan in Montanillo, and he and his wife, Debbie, planted a church, I think, in 1985. Right? And currently, they have 1,200 people a part of their church. And they're doing this just awesome cell ministry, and their goal is, in the near future, to plant 4 churches out of this cell ministry. I mean, they've had like 90 baptisms in the last, you know, 4 or 5 months. This is the kind of stuff that happens when we share the stockpile. God uses it to impact the lives of others. Man, we have been blessed with a stockpile. So I just asked the question, are we sharing it? Like I asked my son, we got to share. I guess I don't ask him, I tell him, don't we? So I'll tell you, we got to share. I'll tell myself, we got to share. God has given us a stockpile, and it is rich, and it is deep, spiritually and otherwise. And we got to share it. So, this morning, I would just like to challenge you with a couple things. Number one, who have you talked to about the stockpile? Have you talked to anybody about the stockpile? Have you told them about it? And that's my first challenge, is start telling people about it. Start telling people about it. I mean, the one thing that's great about these lepers is they're kind of like, what do we got to lose? We're going to die here, we're going to die there. Maybe we'll have compassion if we go to the camp. I mean, it's kind of this go for broke, roll the dice, see what happens. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen to us as we tell other people about the stockpile? What's the worst? I'm not interested. Thanks, though. You know, I have other beliefs. Maybe we feel a little bit, you know, silly or judged or whatnot. But, I mean, it's minimal, isn't it? You know, what do we got to lose? And, man, then think about the other side of the coin. What do other people have to gain? What do other people have to gain as they start to experience the stockpile, and this life-giving relationship with God. Oh, wow. I mean, do you think these lepers, these four lepers, felt good at the end of the day? When they saw a city saved because they told. Well, yeah, there's a city dying, isn't there? People all around us who are dying, spiritually speaking, they're dying. Just waiting for somebody to tell them, aren't they? And again, we're not responsible for how they receive it, you know. But what are we responsible for? We're responsible for telling. I just see these lepers at the end of the day just kind of patting each other on the back and saying, wow, look at this. The city is saved because we told them about the stockpile. So my first challenge to you, tell people about the stockpile. Tell people about it. We don't have a lot to lose, you know. Most in our country, it's not illegal. You know, people aren't getting, I mean, no thanks, I'm not interested, you know. Tell people about the stockpile. We put up signs. You'll notice as you leave, there's new signs up. Tim referred to them last weekend, but it says, you are now entering your mission field. You know, most of us won't be like Kevin. Most of us aren't going to pick up our family and go to Morocco. Some of us might. God might be stirring that in some people's heart to do those things. But you know what? We can reach beyond borders right here in our own neighborhood, here in Hanford, here in Kings County. I've said it before, but you know, I mean, there's a border around my property. And sometimes by crossing that border, I really am reaching beyond borders. You know, as I cross culture and go into people's lives that maybe I don't know, I really am reaching beyond borders here locally. And God's calling us to do that individually, to share the stockpile with others. Tell other people about the stockpile. The second thing I'd like to challenge you with is to utilize your stockpile to touch the world. Utilize your stockpile to touch the world. If you notice in your bulletins, there's a pledge card. And I just want to challenge you, give. Give. We got to share. We got to share. We are some of the richest people in the world, hands down. Doesn't matter how you feel, how rich you feel, how poor you feel. Globally speaking, you're rich. And sometimes those little sacrifices that we can make have a significant impact in the world. I mean, to support a widow is $10 a month. $10 a month. What is that, skipping, like, not going to Starbucks a couple times? Maybe once for some of us? You know? $10 a month to support a widow changes lives as we share the stockpile. So I just want to challenge you. We're going to collect these next week. Be praying about these over the next few days. See how God would stir in your heart to share the stockpile. Share the way that God has richly blessed you. And as we talk to people like Kevin, it's significant. It has significant impact on the world. Lives are changed because of it. And as a church, we're going to continue to commit ourselves to reaching beyond borders. Some of those borders are here local, and some of them are as far away as Morocco and India and Cambodia. But man, we got a stockpile. We got a stockpile. Let's start telling people about it. Let's start sharing it. If you guys would, just go ahead and stand with me as we conclude. Jesus, we thank you for the stockpile. My goodness, you have richly, richly blessed us. Richly blessed us. You've blessed us spiritually with, we have life with God, a relationship with God that is life-giving and full of joy and peace and goodness. And we thank you for that stockpile. And we also know that you have blessed us financially. Even if we don't feel like it, you have blessed us financially. You have given to us. And we can share that. As we share that, it really does. We know that it impacts the world. We know that you take it and you multiply it. So we come before you and we just say, forgive us. God, forgive us for when we don't share the stockpile, when we haven't shared the stockpile. Have mercy and grace on us. But we know that today is a day of good news. Good news. And we need to share the good news. I also know that in a room this size, maybe there are some here that maybe you've never experienced the stockpile. You've never come to the stockpile. Grace and mercy of God. I just want to give you an opportunity that if that's you, you can respond to God today. You can put your hope and faith in Jesus Christ. You can experience the stockpile. And so if that's you, I just encourage you just to raise your hand. If you need to come to the stockpile, If you need to come to the sock pile, you've never been, you know that you've messed up, you're a sinner, and you need God's grace and mercy. If that's you, just repeat this prayer. It can just be in your mind. You might whisper it, but just say, God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. God, I acknowledge that I need your grace and your mercy, and that you brought about grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. He died for my sins, and now I might live a new life with you. I place my faith in Jesus Christ, and I proclaim him as my Lord and Savior. Oh, man, I'm thankful for salvation. Thankful for salvation. Jesus, again, we just say thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for salvation. Continue to stir in our hearts and our minds ways that we can share the stockpile, both here locally and also globally. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Go with us now, we pray, as we enter into our mission field. Continue to open our eyes to new opportunities to share about the stockpile. In your precious name we pray. Amen, amen. Thanks, you guys. Love you guys. If you want prayer, please come down front. Prayer teams will be down here to pray with you. So you guys have a